Do grab your swords, please, and turn to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. In verse 6, would you read it with me? Psalm 17, verse 6. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me and from my deadly enemies who surround me. One of the things he says that he saves those who trust him. Saves those who trust him. You know, last night, it was around midnight, and the Lord said to me something very profound. He said, you know, guy, trust is sacred. I mean, it just ripped through me. He says, it's sacred. It's holy. Trust is sacred. And when that ripped through me, I began to see other things of trust. And when you think about the area of trust and how easily it's trampled, how it's misused, he said, trust is sacred. Trust is something that has come from my throne room and so easily trampled. It's holy. And I'm telling you, when he spoke this to me, it just ripped right through me. And I began to see a whole other realm. And realizing that trust is not associated in the natural. It was manifested and birthed from the Spirit of God Almighty. That word, trust. Trust. Trust is so sacred. It is so meaningful. It is so eternal. It is so, what a ripple effect of trust. It's beautiful. And so many times we just take that word trust and just toss it. Yeah, I trust. We say trust, but never take it to the whole arena of where it came from, where it's originated from. Trust. And he says he saves those who trust you, who trust you. You know, really think about what is trust. When we say we trust someone, that means we've put our life in their hands. If somebody says, I trust you, do you just say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. When somebody says, I trust you, what they're saying to you, truly, if it's truly sacred, I put my life in your hands. When God says, I rescue those, I save those who trust me, because what that person is saying is, I put my life in your hands. It is totally different than what we know of the world is trust. Because the world's trust is totally different. But that's not what it was meant to be. But everything in this world has always got some kind of defilement to it. In Psalm 22 and verse 4. Psalm 22 and verse 4. Would you read it with me? Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And I'm telling you right now, this is what the world is saying to you as a believer. You will be ridiculed because you trust in the Lord. And you are not ashamed to speak it, because you know that your life is in his hands. See, that is true trust. If you just say, I trust, and not realizing that your life is in his hands, then you do not trust. There's a difference of saying trust and knowing trust. Oh, I trust the Lord. Yes, I trust the Lord. But when he doesn't do what I ask, I go do it myself. That's not trust at all. When you say you trust the Lord, it's because you've committed your life into his hands. That's a totally different arena. That is called sacred trust. Or the sanctity of trust. In Psalm 26, in verse 1. Psalm 26 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Let's speak this together, please. He says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not what? Slip." Why? He says, "I trusted in the Lord. I have committed my life into your hands. How can I slip? How can I fall? Only if I'm swayed away from taking my life out of your hands. Only if I begin to compromise my trust." Does everybody got this? He said, verse 2, "Examine me, O Lord, improve me. Try my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes. I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked." Wow. See, there is an integrity when we trust in the Lord. I'm going to say this again. There is an integrity that is established when we really trust in Him. And without truly committing our lives to Him, if we begin to compromise that trust in Him, our integrity begins to diminish. It begins to crumble. There is an integrity when we trust in the Lord. It is maintained by knowing and practicing truth. It's maintained by knowing and practicing truth. And that maintaining and knowing of practicing truth will produce a fruit called righteousness. It's going to produce a fruit called what? Righteousness. So again, there is an integrity when we trust in the Lord because we've actually said, "I commit my life into your hands. I totally, truly trust you. No matter what man says, no matter what's before me, no matter what I'm being accused of, no matter what I'm being portrayed of." See, there's a difference when you always stand before God. If you say that you trust Him, that means you are always standing before Him. If you compromise your trust, then you don't see Him before you in everything you do. So you only trust Him when you have to. It's amazing how many people trust God when they're laying on their deathbed.
Oh, God.
You know, even the atheists, when they get in trouble, the first thing they do is, "Oh, God," not even realize it. Because we came from God and there is a birth that says we are God's children, even when we're lost. And lost just means living outside salvation's truth. So in this, if we truly trust Him, that means we've committed our life to Him and into His hands. And Psalm 18, sanctity of trust. There's a sanctity of trust. There's a holiness. There's a sacredness of trust. And Psalm 18 and verse 1, would you read it with me, please? "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." Wow. In other words, because you have committed your life into Him, you've committed your life into His hands, you in true trust says, "You're my strength, you're my rock, you're my fortress, you're my deliverer, you're my shield, you're my strong tower. I am complete in you, and without you I'm not complete." You completely trust Him no matter what's going on. There is a difference. This is called sanctity of trust because it is sacred. It has come from the throne room of God, and the world has polluted this trust. That word is just slanged, thrown around like it's okay. People say, "I trust," but really do not trust. They lie. In Psalm 37, "And you will know it by the fruit," because a person who truly trusts practices truth. And when you practice truth, there'll be a fruit of righteousness. There won't be a fruit of compromise. There won't be a fruit of the flesh. Psalm 37 and verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. You cannot feed on his faithfulness if you do not trust. It's impossible. You will feed on what you feel, what you see, and what you think. And that will promote mistrust because you can't trust you either. Verse 4. He says what? Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You cannot delight in something you don't trust. You are not going to get in a car that you don't trust is going to make it to the stop sign. Hello. In fact, many people go out and rent a vehicle they know can't trust make it somewhere longer. You won't go to someone's house that you don't trust, I hope. In verse 5, it says what? Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall what? Bring it to pass. Verse 6, look at this now. You ready? He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Trust and do. Feed on his faithfulness. Commit your way because you choose to trust him. No matter what man says, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what the counselor of carnality says, no matter what the court says, there's a higher word that's higher than all words, and that's God. There's a higher name that's higher than every name and every label and every word, and that is the name of Jesus, where every knee shall bow, sickness, disease, cancer, fears, and everything else. Now, the enemy knows whether you trust or not. Oh, he knows. He likes to bait individuals so they can move away from trust. Let me share something with you that trust is earned. One of the things that we are trying to do is earn the trust of God. That means something very important. You must be faithful. You must be disciplined. You must be committed. You must be dedicated at all costs. In other words, the will of God to you is more than life. That's called trust. No matter what it takes, you are willing to fulfill the will of God no matter what. No matter what your spouse says, your children say, no matter what, you are going to do the will of God because it's going to only be you and God when you stand before him. That's it. And if there truly is that trust, every decision, everything you and I do, he's right there. Because trust is established by relationship. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. When God realizes, when he sees that you recognize him in everything, that you acknowledge him, the word says acknowledge him in all your ways, right? When you acknowledge him in everything that you're doing, he sees that you're learning to trust him. Again, this trust is sacred. It's a sanctity of trust. It's a different trust than what the world says trust is. In Psalm 40, we first must make the choice to trust. Lord, no matter how I feel, I'm going to trust you. No matter what's going on, I'm going to trust you. You know, people spend lots of money on stock. They put their money in the stock market like it's okay. You know what they do? Because they trust their intuitions that it's going to go good. And many people lose money. But I'm telling you, there's a place that you can put money that you can trust all the way. That you will get a return. And that's in the kingdom of God. See, but people trust in the world more than they trust in God because it's worldly trust. They trust in their own talents and their own strengths and abilities instead of truly trusting in God Almighty. And trust, again, is earned. He does not put you in a place and position you in authority in the kingdom of God unless you've earned trust. Now, there are many self-imposed positions, but trust is earned. People want to be in all of these places and serving God. The first thing everybody wants to do is serve God. But not everyone wants to serve God God's way. Not everyone's willing to go through Holy Ghost boot camp, officers training school. They want to jump from stair 1 to stair 40. And their foundation is only a one-floor foundation. When they're trying to live on a fourth floor and it always crumbles, won't work. Trust is earned. And only he promotes. Man can promote you. But let me tell you, there's a difference of man promoting you and God promoting you. There's a difference. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 40, verse 4. Let's speak it. Blessed. Everyone say blessed.
Blessed.
What's the opposite of blessed?
Cursed.
Ah. So when you see the word blessed, you must realize that there is an opposite called cursed. See, people just don't want to see that. It says, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust. So what about the man who doesn't make the Lord his trust? He's cursed. Blessed is a man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So a person who truly trusts will always recognize when he's beginning to sway into pridefulness or beginning to compromise or justify. But he also stays away from those who are prideful and liars. He knows them. See, because in this area of trust, there's an area of relationship. In this area of relationship, there's God's presence. In this area of God's presence, there's discernment and clarity. There's sensitivity. You are a walking sonar. Beep, 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 beep. You know.
Demon, 2 o'clock.
Liar, 3 o'clock. Blasphemer, noon, 12 o'clock. Man, you sense these things. You know before it even gets to you. You know.
Hey, I want to talk to you.
You can see right through. Yeah, I know what you want to talk about. And it ain't you. It's that demon in you that wants to come. See, all of these things is because you're sensitive. Sensitive. Because you're able to see through the natural into the spirit. Anybody can live out of the soul. Anybody can have a dream and vision and live out of the soul. But there's a totally different place of living out of the spirit. When you live out of the spirit, you are consistent. You are disciplined. When you live out of the spirit, there's a fear of God that you won't compromise because God is with you and you are with him, always before him. Always. There's a difference. People want to be known as men and women of God, yet they still have one foot in the world and one foot in the spirit. They live in both worlds. They hang between two worlds. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust. In Psalm 41 and verse 4. Is everybody okay? In verse 9, 41:4, I'm sorry. Let's speak it together, please. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? And if he comes to see me, he speaks what? If he comes to see me, he speaks what? Lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. And against me they devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Verse 9, now look at this. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Wow. Listen, this is called a breach of trust. A breach of trust is devastating. It will open the door to demonic activity, not only to you who've breached, but to the one you breached. It says they speak lies because they breach. It was a breach of trust. A familiar friend, one who that individual trusted. In other words, he committed his life to that person. He trusted that person with his life. It is the sanctity of trust, again, because trust is sacred. In this trust, it's been trampled. We see right now that in this world again, and even in this country, the word trust means nothing. In fact, people do not trust anything what's going on right now because there's been so much breach of trust. And it's infiltrated the body of Christ where believers are acting the same way as mere carnal men in the area of the word trust, unfulfilled vows, uncommitted, not fully dedicated. This has been trampled, it's been misused, and it's been misplaced in this country. There is a nobility and an honor and truth in trust and people that are trusted. I'm going to say this again. There is a nobility, honor, and truth in people who are truly trusted. But this is rapidly diminishing in this country. Just to give you an example, elected officials have lost the sanctity of trust. People don't trust them. Nobility of moral honor and the fear of God Almighty has been diminished. See, that's one of the fruits of mistrust is losing the fear of God. One of the areas when you say you truly trust God, you maintain the fear of God, and that's reverence, honor, and respect. There's this place of dishonor. Dishonor leads to disgrace and shame. There are places of position and authority that have been infiltrated by the enemy. You know, when an individual is a political servant or when they want to serve God and so on, this is places service. It's servant. That means we serve. We are not looking to be served. We serve. It's amazing how things have gone backwards now. Now the political arena wants to be served. They do not serve. I'm watching this happen in front of my eyes. It's an area where they're really not serving. They want to be served because the sanctity of trust has been misplaced. It's been misplaced in this country, and it's been misplaced in the body of Christ in many places. People use the word trust as a slang word almost. And when it is really truly established in the body of Christ, it will penetrate and spread. And I believe that the fear of the Lord will be more manifested in this country when a body of Christ begins to realize the sanctity of that word trust. When somebody says, I trust you, what they've said is they committed their life. They trust you with their life. And you think about it, how many people in the body of Christ can you truly say that to? Then it's no different than the world. Instead of a selfish intent, there should be a selfless intent. It's about self-gain, self-promotion. You know, the Lord says that we're to serve others more than ourselves. The Word says it's better to give than just to receive. This is a demonic influence, and it is evil, and it is penetrating, it's contaminating, and it's polluting. It's actually disgusting. When you think about every believer of the body of Christ should carry such a sanctity of trust that the world says something, you know what? I can trust that person even though I don't know their God. That's what happened with Joseph. Joseph was given great things to do because they trusted him even though they didn't know his God. Because he counted the word trust as sacred. When he was given something to do, it was because it was trusted to him. Him, trust was sacred. It was holy. It was something vitally important because it's a word that stands with God. It's a word that's been released from God Almighty. Trust. In Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. And I believe that the Lord has been rebuilding the body of Christ for such a time as this in preparation. He says he's coming back for a blemish-free bride. And in this blemish-free bride, this contaminated, polluted trust must be crushed. It is carnal trust. It is not sacred. And God is establishing the sacred trust in the kingdom of God so that when you truly say you trust, no matter what comes your way, no matter what storm you're in, you've committed your life to God. Whether you live or you die, you've trusted him to your last breath. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, would you read it with me, please? Hold on a second. Let's start at verse 20. He says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you do what? You put off concerning your former conduct. Hello. That you do what? You put it off. That polluted trust that we always talked about. That when we said, yes, I trust, but really we lied and didn't trust. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the what? Deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, when we say that we trust and we really don't, we lie. And it will grieve the Holy Spirit, and it will open the door to the enemy to access you. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31. Speak it, please. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Lying is a breach of trust. When somebody says something and they don't go through with it, it is lying. That person has not gained trust, but lost it. When we do that with an individual, we've done that with God. Everybody got it? When we do that with an individual, we've done that with God. See, the thing is because the individual is too dull or blinded and not sensitive enough that they think they can do it with man, and it affects nothing with them with God, but it does. In fact, there was something that many of the men of God have cried out. David cried out, Lord, even when he blew it, when he got caught in fornication and killing someone, he said, God, I have sinned against you. I've sinned against you. One day I was taking some stuff and whatever, and I had too much caffeine. And there was something else that I was taking and I forgot about. And man, I was perked up and I was in the flesh. And my daughter said something to me, man, I grabbed her throat. I said, whoa. Of course, she's been acting up a little bit. And my wife looked at me like, and she'd never seen that. And I walked out of the house and I began to weep. And I came in, I grabbed both of them and I sat down. And I said before them, I got on my knees and I prayed and I said, Father, I have sinned against you before I've sinned against them. See, I couldn't last 5 minutes without taking care of this because I'm in a relationship. I'm not in religion. And I repented to both of them. And I'll tell you what, it's never happened again. Now I monitor what I put in my mouth. But you know, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. Don't justify your mistake. You'll lose trust. Don't reason your mistake. Don't prolong that period of time to try to calculate, how can I manipulate my mistake? Forget it. You will never earn trust if you live that way. Never. You'll never learn trust with men, nor will you never learn trust with God. Never. And that is a terrible way to live. You'll never have honor. You'll die in a dishonorable death. We want to die an honorable death. It's not how much we've done when we die. It's what he's done through us, not what we've done. It's not how many houses you build. It's not how many businesses you have. It's not how much is in your account. It's not how much you give your children. None of that will matter when you stand before God. The only thing that matters is what you've obeyed him and trusted him all the way through. That's what will be counted for. Nothing else. It's amazing on how many people think, well, because I'm good and I do this, 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 and this, and this, and this, God's going to accept this. When God hasn't spoken to that person in years because he can't trust them. The only thing that you'll hear from God, from an individual he can't trust, is repent and come home. Repent and come home. Learn from me. Is everybody okay? In verse 32. It says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Lying is a breach of trust. Let me tell you something. When you've been breached, when your trust, when somebody's been, that you trusted in, has been breached, first thing it does is bring pain. It brings pain. The second thing it brings is sorrow. The third thing it brings is anger. The fourth thing it brings is regret. The fifth thing it brings is bitterness. The sixth is envy. The seventh is unforgiveness. The eighth is walls of self-protection. It puts walls up. And it actually, those walls actually imprison you, which is called bondage. I'll say these again. When a breach of trust has been manifested in your life, the first thing it does is bring pain, then sorrow, then anger, then bitterness, then envy, unforgiveness, personal walls of self-protection, and bondage or self-imprisonment. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, sanctity of trust. In verse 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. That's why many divorces are established. That's why many breakups, because the sanctity of trust has not been established or has been breached. When a husband trusts a wife, he's committed his life into her hands. When a wife trusts a husband, she's committed her life into his hands. When that trust is breached, it causes pain. And there's a ripple effect. It goes down to the children. It goes into the family line. It affects people around you. You begin to mistrust others and bring personal walls. That trust must be reestablished and earned, and it doesn't happen overnight. When my wife and I got divorced and we got reconciled, trust had to be earned. As far as she knew, once an addict, always an addict. I earned her trust. But I couldn't earn her trust if I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I counted trust as sacred because with my Father, it is sacred. I trust Him. He trusts me. You cannot trust anyone that doesn't trust you. That's why trust must be earned. If someone comes up to me and says, makes all of these promises and I don't know them, I can't trust them. They got to earn that trust. And they earn that trust by being consistent, by being dedicated, and by being faithful. And by utilizing what they have in a rightful way, not a selfish way. There's a difference. Because a servant of the Lord is to serve. He's not looking to see what he can get. He's looking to see what he can give. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, let's speak it together. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. Let me tell you, He knows those who are His by those who trust Him. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor. So there is a cleansing being manifested. And it's being manifested right now because the Lord has been rebuilding the house of God in preparation for His return. There must be a solid foundation, and in that solid foundation, there must be a sanctity of trust. Verse 21, therefore if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, what? Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. 24, read it with me. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. One of the things that the enemy likes to do is breach trust so he can access both of them. It's not just one party that gets accessed, it's two. Person is truly sanctified when he is dedicated, set apart. That's what that sanctified means. He's dedicated, he's set apart for the will of the Lord. Again, trusting is committed to service and protects others. As a servant of the Lord, we are serving others and we are protecting others. Serving others and protecting others. As a shepherd of a sheep or a captain of a ship, one of the things he is looking for is to not only serve his people, make sure things are right, but he's also looking to protect them. It's amazing how many people take protection as an offense. Well, I just don't like how that's happening. Too bad. Then protect yourself. And then first examine yourself. How's it working? In this again, we are committed to service and protect others. And we are carriers of the integrity of righteousness. Of righteousness. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Glory! You came to hear the truth, right? Well, this is what the Lord is doing right now. And don't let the enemy tell you he's not speaking to you, but he's speaking to your neighbor. He is speaking to every single one of us in this room. And if you don't think he's speaking to you, you don't have his trust. This message ain't for me. You're here today, right? Second Chronicles 29, in verse 3. Is everybody there? Are we okay? Praise God. In the first year of his reign, who was Hezekiah, in the first month he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square. And he said to them, "Hear me, Levites. Now sanctify yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry out all the rubbish from the holy place." Hello. Remember when Jesus went into the temple? What was he doing? He was kicking over tables. Those demons that were hiding under those tables, they got exposed. The money changers. Everything was about business, 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 money, 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 money. Money was their God. Sanctification and trust was null and void. And the Lord went in there and kicked over the tables and made a whip. Took a whip. And he tossed everybody out. He said, "My house, my father's house is a house of prayer." In other words, it was to be sanctified. Well, the temple of God is going through a process of sanctification and cleansing. You claim to be a believer, then you should be about kingdom business. If you're not about kingdom business, you are not a believer. In verse 6. "For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on him." Verse 7. "They also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to God of Israel." That means prayers. "Therefore the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation, and to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed because of this our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity." That is imprisonment. Now I want you to know that there is a imprisonment of the soul that is happening spiritually. "Now in my heart to make a covenant with God, with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense." Then these Levites arose, Manasseh the son of Amasa, Joel the son of Azariah, and the sons of Kohathites, of the sons of Merariah, Kish, the sons of, and all the other sons. All the way down to verse 15. "And they gathered their brethren." Hello? Come on, read it with me. "And they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king at the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. Then the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it and carried it to the brook of Kitron." Verse 17. "Now they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule," not eight meaning new beginning, "vestibule of the Lord. They sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days." In how many days?
8 days.
The purpose of sanctification is to bring a new beginning. It's to bring a new beginning. People are still living in the past. God's trying to bring something new, and people are still refusing to go into the new. They want to stay in the old. Well, you're going to rot in the old. God is doing a new thing. You're going to either move with him or he's going to leave you. Many people are dying left and right. They're going home. You know, think about Gideon's army. They started off with 20-something thousand, 30-something thousand, and they ended up with 300, and they kicked butt. Why? Because they trusted. God could trust them. I think it was like 32,000 or something like that. God could trust them out of 300. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Then they went in to verse 18. "Then they went in to King Hezekiah and said, 'We have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offerings with all its articles and the table of showbread with all of its articles.'" So there's a cleansing going on right now. Why? The purpose is to produce the sanctity of trust. God must trust his people. He wants to trust us, but he can't trust people that cannot trust him. Amen. And Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Matthew 10, 32. You know, the word says that we'll know them by the fruit, right? Never determine individuals by gifts or prosperity. You determine individuals by dedication. Are you listening? Dedication, commitment, love. Because what they love, they will serve. You determine them by the fruit of righteousness. But where there is dedication and commitment, love, you will see the fruit of righteousness. Never determine an individual by the gifts or prosperity. Never. That is deceiving. Has everybody got it? You'll know an individual by their dedication and commitment. You'll know them by their love. You'll know them by their support. They support righteousness. They support the things that are kingdom business. Everything is about kingdom business. If it's not about kingdom business, the person cannot be trusted, and God can't trust them, and neither should you. And Matthew 10, 32, let's speak it together. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? A sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So if he says he's not worthy of me, does it mean he trusts him? No. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So what the Lord is saying, he's putting things straight in divine order. He's saying, I'm first. I'm first. When I'm first, I can trust you. When I'm first, I can trust you. When I'm first in this, I can trust you. When you acknowledge me in all of these things, I can trust you. I'm going to give you things to do to gain trust. See, your trials and tribulations not only expose your enemy, but they are testings to see if he can trust you. Because when he trusts you, he gives you more. When he doesn't trust you, he begins to take away what you have. And I'm going to close in Acts chapter 20. Hallelujah. In verse 28. Let's speak it together, please. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Sanctified. Trust. The sanctity of trust. It is sacred. Let us not trample it, misuse it, or misplace it. Amen. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And we ask, Lord, that this seed that has been imparted would be protected by the blood of Christ and grow and bear fruit for your glory. I pray for everyone here and every listener and everyone watching today that revelation by the Spirit and illumination of the Word would be manifested in your lives. And that there be a desire to earn the trust of God. A desire. And a willingness to do whatever it takes to gain his trust. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.